Test. And test. Good. We're set. We're ready to go.
All right.
Okay. Proverbs 5 this week. Thinning crowd.
Yeah, you save it for Tom.
Now, next week when Barry gets here, it's going to be like 25 people again. Right? That's what's going to happen.
Oh, has he got better aftershave?
Was he? Yeah. Can someone open us in prayer? Would that, any?
Okay, I
can do it.
Okay.
You, sure. There you go. Thanks.
Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that the wisdom that is included in Proverbs has been preserved for us over so many, many years. We pray that you will open our minds and hearts to the wisdom that you've preserved for us and guide our conversation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. All right, so why don't we start by, again, reading Proverbs 5, 23 verses. So I'm going to start by reading 1 through 14, and someone else pick up and do 15 through 23.
My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as in honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldst ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house. Lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. And thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me.
15?
Drink water from your own cistern, and running water from your own well. Should your fountains be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets, let them be only your own and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. As a loving deer and a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times and always be enraptured with her love. For why should you, my son, be enraptured by an immoral woman and be embraced in the arms of a seductress? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. His own iniquities entrap the wicked man, and he is caught in the cords of his sin. He shall die for lack of instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray.
Great. Okay. So, what are we talking about today?
Adultery.
There's something playing.
Is it playing? No, I think there's just a lot of static. Check. It seems to be working. I did a test before. It should be working. All right. Maybe it's just... Oh, you know what? Let me just bring it down a little bit. Do I have it too loud?
Something. And I've got very bad...
No, you're right, Dale. It is... It's a static. It's a very faint static. But it should be hooked up all right because... I see it hit. Yeah, I think it's fine. I did a test before, too, and I did it.
Maybe there's something outside the door.
No, it's this. You're right. Okay, so Proverbs 5 is split up basically into two parts. What's the first part? I had Dale read 1 through 14.
I missed the 14th verse.
No, it's fine. 1 through 14. So what is 1 through 14 about?
Well, it's talking about strange witness, someone who is not your wife. That's That's what it means.
Yeah. Right.
Hey, strange women. Different women other than your wife.
Right. It's talking about... more of a summary. In general, what an adulteress is, I guess you could say.
That's
and,
right.
And 15 on is what?
Stick with your wife.
How to not fall into that sin. Right. So he starts with, here's the problem, here's how to avoid it. That's basically how this proverb is split up. Okay. So what's it, just like all the other proverbs, how does this start?
Pay attention.
How else? Say.
As a father to his son.
Yeah. And I'm not necessarily sure if he's... I think I brought this up last week, whether or not he's actually speaking to his sons directly, which I think he is, but he's also, I think, addressing the youth. I think that would be fair to say. Yeah,
I get it. God talking to us. We are his sons.
That's what I get. And definitely, all are plausible, especially because of the context in the context in which it's in, who's writing it. I think, but primarily, I think we're talking about Solomon to his sons, and all the others apply as well. And what's the very first thing that he starts off saying in Proverbs 5? But after, pay attention to my wisdom and listen to my words.
He says, maintain that you may maintain discretion, and your lips preserve knowledge.
Does anyone remember, I'm going to do this in the reverse order, what Dave talked about today and how the Greeks, what was the primary push, the primary driving force behind the Greeks?
Wisdom.
Ask questions about everything.
Questions about everything. That's right.
Greeks was, I'm going to do this in the reverse order. Question everything. And what was the other? What is this? What is the world? What does it mean to? Then he said, "What does it mean to have wisdom and understanding?" This hit me because I knew this was what we were talking about today. First thing he says is, what does it mean to have wisdom and understanding? He said this. And then he said, but to the Greeks, wisdom and understanding was question everything. So what's wisdom and understanding to us? What did Dave say?
He said, accept everything that the word tells us. Yeah, I'm paraphrasing there. You didn't say that. But that's really the contrast between the two believers. Between the two is when we read the Bible, what are we supposed to get out of it? What are the Proverbs primarily trying to instruct us with is gain understanding. Proverbs 1:7. Gain understanding. You want it more than anything else in your life, right? So if we read... then he starts what this proverb is about in verse 3. Let me read in verse 3. For the lips of an adulteress drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as gall, sharper than a double-edged sword. What do you think of when... what's the first thing that comes to mind when you think about that?
Hell?
So for me, that's it's a real important insight on how deceptive sin can be and how deceptive temptation can be, that we oftentimes can be lured into it.
Yeah.
Because it seems like it's easy. It
yeah.
appears to be
beautiful.
You know, beautiful,
yeah.
pleasurable.
And we're attracted to these things, you know. And he stops us right there and says, "But don't." And he gives an analogy to gall, which is a very, very bitter tasting. I think it's a flower, a poppy, or something like that. Am I right? Okay.
And I guess to say, whenever these analogies are made in the Bible, it's always like a very stark contrast and compare. It's always what from one spectrum to the other, black and white. And he's trying to say, listen, I know what it looks like, but you can't be further than what you believe it is. You know, and he's trying to set this up. So the very first thing he tells his sons, you know, is you think one thing, but just like he did in Proverbs 4 when he started, I've been there. Well, like we talked about last week, I've been there. I know the dangers. Listen to me before you fall into the same pit trap. Okay.
Something I think was key for me too is it says in verse 4, but in the end, it's bitter as gall.
Yeah.
But in the end.
Yeah. What do you?
So the idea there is that it's you're not going to see the danger of the sin right at the beginning, right at the onset.
Yeah.
But the danger's there, and it's going to occur, and in the end,
and
you'll see it.
And he talked about that more, that whole process as well. Mm-hmm. We'll get to that. It's a really good point. What?
Sin is like shaving cream. It looks good, but tastes terrible. I tried it when I was a kid. I thought, anything that looks this good, it's got the taste of it.
It's great.
I'm serious.
I've never heard that
Mr.
before.
Dell is not lying.
And that's one of the things about youth, though, is they don't think ahead, and you have to keep saying, well,
that's
how
right.
is this going to go,
that's a
and what's going to happen before
that's
you get
right.
to the end.
The end result.
Yeah,
because they're thinking today, and this is going to be fun, and
yep.
then they're not thinking about next week or a year ago.
Right. And Solomon's basically saying, you know, hindsight's 20/20. You know, you don't know it until it's happened, and it's unfortunate.
Yeah.
How often can someone tell us, don't do this, do this, do this, don't do this, and we say, you know what, that makes a lot of sense, and then we go off and do the opposite anyway of what they tell us to do.
What I don't, you know, list the woman, the immoral woman. You know,
mm-hmm.
where's the accountability for the man as far as wrong? You know.
Yeah.
And it's
yeah.
addressing the woman as the fog person here.
Well,
that really gets me.
I think it's a good point, but I think what remember that Solomon is addressing from at least the standpoint that I'm viewing it as he's talking to a believer about sin in the world. You know, so yeah, you're right. Where's the accountability? The accountability is you know better. I'm telling you not to do this, but there is no accountability. Oh, let's just go right down to the next one. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lead straight to the grave. She gives no thought. This is where I really want to get to. She gives no thought to the way of life. Her paths are crooked, and she knows it, but she knows it not. You know, she doesn't know what she's doing is wrong. She's just living in sin, and she doesn't know any better. But you know better. I think that's the crux here.
Well, it's also wisdom. He talks about being a woman, and he's also just using the same metaphor to talk about sin.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I think that's part of it, too.
It's
continuing the metaphor.
It's not just adultery. It's
yeah, it's not just saying that this is a woman's problem either.
Right. It's not just a woman. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not just, I mean, this is directed at men, but it's not just men either. It's women that can fall into this as well, you know. But the way that it's written, I mean, you can't get past. I mean, this is especially hard for me because it puts me. When you read Proverbs 5, I mean, my goodness, you just how often are my eyes wandering all day, my thoughts wandering all day, you know? And it's not just about. It's not just lust. It's. It's not just lust for the flesh, it's lust for everything else. You know, how much do I want, you know, more of this, and or I envy this person because they have this. And, you know, it's just one after the other, and all you can do is, well, we'll get there in a second, but I don't want to get ahead of myself. But, yeah, I think that's a really good point that you say, so where's the accountability? Because it sounds like, oh, that, you know, there. You're shaming this harlot, but you know where's your own fault in this? Yeah,
I think the accountability, and I think you actually kind of said this. I think
yeah.
the accountability comes in the long term, which young people, and not just young, I mean, some not so young, have difficulty seeing the long term.
Yeah.
And our culture is steeped in that. I mean, all the... And you can hardly watch a movie or a TV show or something where it doesn't have somebody messing around.
That's right.
But there's never a consequence of it. You never see somebody, you know, getting disease or depression and suicide.
You're
or
absolutely
any of the
right.
things that can come from, you know, twisted relationships. You don't see that unless it's a movie that's particularly trying to do something weird. But
I know what you mean though. Yeah,
it's hidden from us. We just see, oh, these people look like they're having fun, and then the show ends and the curtain goes down and the music rolls and you say nothing bad happened. You know, they got away with it. But the accountability is that in the long run, nobody gets away with
That's
it.
Right.
God is not mocked. We reap what we sow.
We need eternal viewpoints. We need to have every day to look forward to what actually lies ahead for us as believers. And when we forget that, I think that's when we're susceptible for it, or susceptible to it.
And it's wisdom.
Yeah. And it's wisdom. It's wisdom and understanding of that, too, right?
Yeah, and that's why we need the Holy Spirit. Just every once in a while, you think, wait, I'm getting a different message in my head. I need to wake up.
Yeah.
Tell me, stop.
And there is consequence for the man.
The son who doesn't listen.
Yeah.
What's that?
For the son who doesn't listen.
For the son who doesn't
listen. There is consequence.
Yeah. I was going to get to
that. Yeah. Sorry.
No, that's okay. Can someone look up Ecclesiastes 7:26? And we kind of talked about that here, but it goes hand in hand.
7:26?
Yes.
And I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets, and her hands as bands. Whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her.
Yep. And Matthew 5:28-30, since we've already gone through this in the text.
But I say to you that everyone who looks on a woman to lust for her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you. For it is better for you that one of the parts of your body perish, and for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off and throw it from you, for it is better for you that one of the parts of your body perish than for your whole body to be thrown into hell.
And it goes right along with that eternal thought process, you know. It's how do I escape this, knowing that even though this looks amazing, that this is really my path to destruction? And here we go. Keep path far from her. Do not go near the door of her house.
That's right.
I was just having a conversation with Carol Morgan. I don't know how this even came up because she didn't know that we were talking about Proverbs 5 today. She's like, guys have it so tough. Because you guys need to do the eye balance, you know. I was like, it's funny you say that because that's what we're talking about today. You know, you can't even go near it. You know what it is as soon as you do it. You know, anything that you do, even close to, I can't even, any sin, you know it because we've been taught it to stay away from it, yet we do it.
It's okay to look the first time, but not the second time.
Yeah, because the first time was by accident, you mean?
Well, it's just, if someone's in your path, you know, you can't ignore them because eventually you might have to speak with them about the word or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
It's inevitable to have interaction unless you live as a hermit.
That's correct, and... God calls us to do the exact opposite with the Great Commission.
That's right.
I tried to think of like another way to put this because to me, do not go near the door of her house isn't far enough. You know, I wanted to think of another way to say because not that this is obviously this is the word, but I don't want to add to it. But I almost wanted to say that you should be on the other side of town. You know that her house is over there. You shouldn't even go over to that part of the village, you know, or just stay away completely.
I think it's too another insight to how we respond to temptation.
Yeah.
Because we so often can think, oh, I've got this under control and that's not a problem for me.
Right.
You know, and you end up walking close to the door and
you're like, oh,
I
can control myself.
Right.
Right.
And when we're not relying on God's power to deliver us, but we rely on our own power, it's not going to work. So.
You know, it's funny too, because it's like, where do you draw that line? Because I mean, I was watching the Orioles game the other day, and now Max isn't old enough yet, but you know, as soon as you're in between innings, they're throwing beer commercials and sex at you all the time. You know, how do I not only that keep that from not only myself, but my son? All I want to do is watch a baseball game. There's nothing wrong with that. But in the middle of all that, you've got the world constantly impeding on me, and I haven't even left my seat. You know, I haven't done anything. It's hard. I mean, I think John actually, he DVRs all his football games. Have you ever talked to him? And he actually goes through and he just fast forwards. That's probably, he does it just because it's quick, and he doesn't want to know the outcome. But he gets
There's
through.
A side benefit.
There is an absolute side benefit to it too. Yeah.
It's the same on just the internet if you're trying to read the news. And it's very offensive. And they throw all this stuff
ads
up there. And it's just like, you don't want to see it. But it's on the most general, any news place you go.
Yeah, I just need directions to my friend's house.
Right.
I can't even look
like,
that up on the internet.
Unbelievable. Our society is so different. It's just, it makes it hard, I think, for anybody.
Absolutely. Again, my time management is awful. We have 15 minutes left. I would like to go through. Lest strangers feed on your wealth and your toil enrich another man's house. At the end of your life, you will groan when your flesh and body are spent. It's exactly what you were talking about, Mike. With you don't. In the end, you're gonna look back and just say, "Oh, what the choices that I've made." I mean, he even talks about going into the congregation here somewhere. Where is this? Oh, that's later on.
14.
Oh, it is 14. Yeah, there we go. I have come to the brink of utter ruin in the midst of the whole assembly. And I think I had a verse ago. I think it was in Job somewhere. I think it was Job 30. Where is that? Can someone go to Job 30? I'm pretty sure. Yes, 30:28. Have it. You know, I should write the verse next to my notes so that I could just read it for you guys. Make you go there. That would be the smart thing. Lessons learned. 30:28.
I go about darkened, but not by the sun.
Maybe not. Okay.
I stand up in the assembly and cry for help.
Yes. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, and Was that the first part of that? What,
the first part was about being darkened. But
okay, no, I didn't remember that. Maybe it's a different version. That's why.
Yes, it's
probably. Okay. Yeah. So even Job talked about being in the assembly of people makes the guilt so apparent. You know, when we come here on Sunday, and finally I put my head between my hands and just say, Lord, forgive me, I'm such a wretched sinner. I mean, because I'm amongst people if you guys knew what I thought on, you know, in any given day, my goodness, I'd be excommunicated, you know. And it's shameful to say that, and I say in joke, but gosh, it's so true, it's so real.
Right.
You know, it's just it's awful.
Right.
And our
sinful hearts are always inclined to that.
Yeah.
And if we think we're not, we don't really understand the depth of our sin.
Which, I think that's, you know, before I was a believer, I know I keep talking about myself, sorry. Before I was a believer,
I didn't know the Lord my entire life, but probably about 10 years now. It was that distinction that made it different. I didn't understand sin nature. All I understood was doing bad versus good, and that, you know, I had a very works-based idea of what Christianity was. You know, and really, and to the person who actually brought me to Christ, that was one of the first things I said to him. It's like, you know, until I realize that I have no way out, and I realize that I'm doing this all day long, my mind is just garbage all day long, and there's nothing I can do to help myself. That until then, you know, and you rely on Jesus as your Savior to get you out of it. So
I got one for you. Ecclesiastes 8:11. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. In other words, if every time we'd sinned, we got an electrical shock, we'd all be walking around doing the same thing.
Yes, constantly.
You know. Really.
What did Genesis say? God looked at us and said, there's just evil on their hearts all the time.
That's right. Total depravity.
Total depravity. Okay, so the second part of Proverbs is what to do about this in a way. So drink from the water of your own cistern. What is that saying?
Of thine own well.
Of your own well. What is that?
I'm sorry. Oh yeah. Be satisfied with the wife you got.
Be satisfied with your with your spouse.
That's what it means,
yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. And we'll go on. Should your springs overflow in the streets, your streams of water in the public squares? What is he alluding to there?
It's a picture to me of abundance.
Mm-hmm.
There's abundance. And as we honor God in our relationship with our husband and wife, there's going to be an abundance of blessing that overflows. And you can, you know, we know that from experience, you know, our own experiences and things like that. But you can even see this God's principle in the world. I read something recently about a survey that was done of, you know, very like CEO type people.
Yeah.
And, you know, the majority of them were the husband of one wife, you know, faithful to their wife and that sort of thing, because that produced in their life an abundance of, you know, of God's blessing if they're believers, but just that principle allows them to.
You weren't here last week, but we were talking about where does it start? Where does wisdom start? And we were talking about how it starts in the household. You know, if you're faithful to your wife, how you'll be faithful to the company that you're working for. You'll be faithful to this, you'll be faithful to that. One of the things that you know, when you go for a security clearance, they ask you all this personal information about things, and you're like, what does this have to do with anything? Like, how many times you've been married? You know, and I think to an unbeliever, you would say this is garbage. Why should it matter? Because maybe to the unbeliever, work comes first. I don't really care if I'm not spending time with my wife. But really, honestly, the government has it right when they're asking these questions. If you're not faithful to if you're not faithful to your wife, what leads us to believe that you're not going to sell secrets to the enemy?
So I think it's a good contrast too with water.
Yep.
So the contrast
here
is an abundance of water, and water is a picture of life. But contrast water to what sin was offering on the outset.
Yeah.
It was honey and oil. Initially, that's what it, you know, it, in contrast to, you know, plain old water, honey and oil, you know, but what's going to give you life is the water, and in abundance, and, you know, sin is going to end up in your ruin.
That's a really good point, that one, yeah.
I think something else that I see in that, too, abundance of water is going to flow in its own directions. It needs to be some kind of boundary, a confinement, and that's what I think he's talking about here, is that don't let the water just slosh around wherever it's going to go. Have some boundaries defined in place to keep it where it belongs.
Yeah, that's sloshing around more.
First Timothy 6:6. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Contented with your job, your wife, your children, whatever it is you have. Mm-hmm. Be content. And that's the thing, the eyes of man are never satisfied.
No, not.
That's a proverb, you know.
What's he go on to say down here? 11 to. Why be captivated by an adulteress? Why embrace the bosom of another man's wife? What can she give you that your wife cannot, or your husband cannot?
Right.
Yeah. It's that old saying, grass always greener on the other side.
That's
you
right.
know, it's just it looks like it again. It's the whole honey thing, but you don't realize it's gall.
See it in the news all the time, this one or that one, you know, had a prostitute or had an affair or something, and they're completely ruined. And mm-hmm. you know, you think, boy, what's this guy even thinking?
And
where's his brain?
I see that and I'm like, I won't bring his name up, but we were talking a couple of weeks ago, and he was telling me, you look at that and you see that kind of thing, but you have to look inwardly and say, I'm capable of the same thing. You know, we're just as susceptible.
Right. And I think we also should be thankful and continue to pray that people who, that they do end up in ruin,
mm-hmm.
that it's demonstrated in this society, because other societies it's not. You go, I lived in France for a year, and people just expect the politicians to have affairs. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's not that big of a deal.
Wow!
You know, it's publicly accepted, and I pray to God we don't become that way.
Yeah.
But we're moving in that direction, but still, you know, there is a kind of an underlying, you know, Judeo-Christian godly principle that says adultery is wrong.
I do like that that we pray for a revival in our congregational prayer, because it is so necessary. You're right, because we keep going down that road. We keep going down that path. For a man's ways are in full view of the Lord's, and he examines all his paths. Gosh, that's just it's just chilling, isn't it? nothing escapes him. The evil deeds of a wicked man ensnare him. The cords of his own sin hold him fast. He will die for lack of discipline, led astray by his own great folly. Which is a great segue into next week. But just as you were saying before, Mike, I mean, you're self-destructing all the time by not accepting wisdom and knowledge of the living God. Dave hit it on the head when he first started. You know, what is the difference to us? We accept everything that is in here, and we try to train ourselves to walk by it, as opposed to questioning. Not to say that questioning is not good, because it's good to question, because that leads to the answers that I think we're all looking for. But instead of searching for knowledge's sake, to better oneself as opposed to the glory of God.
Unlike one of the men's retreats I had been on, he would say that if you come into a situation like that, you know, look at it and say, well, thank you, God, for creating such a beautiful creature, and turn the other way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wish I could do something like that, but I know that I just fall even further. Anyone else? Any other thoughts on this?
I think it's good to think about, you know, bringing up the commercial thing is really good. It's good to think about, how should I respond? You know, what techniques could I, what wisdom could I ask of the Lord on how to deal with that?
Yeah.
You know, that might be, you know, when I feel that lustful thought, you know, maybe I train myself to trigger a verse that I say in response to it, like one of these verses.
Yeah.
And, you know, or I use it to trigger, you know, a prayer for my wife and our relationship. Something like that. You know, I think, you know, the Spirit will give us wisdom on how to do things that will help us be obedient as we trust in Him.
I apologize because last week I don't think I did enough application, and this week maybe we had a little bit more talk of application, but really we really need to be thinking about that the entire time. How do we take Proverbs 5 and apply the wisdom and knowledge that we're here to be taught? That's why I brought Max up, because he's not old enough yet, but how am I going to instruct him the way Solomon tried to instruct his sons?
Right, and it's good that we share it too, because you know, you bring that up in it, and I might think, oh yeah, I do that, but I didn't even realize it.
Yeah.
You know, I that happens to me, and you know, it's something that I can, you know, through fellowship, become convicted of.
Yeah.
Because we talk about it, so I would encourage us to talk about it too.
Absolutely.
Confess your faults one to another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I know I'm single. You think you guys are tempted? Man,
yeah.
You know. I have to make sure, keep your eyes at the correct level, you know, that's one thing.
I understand.
It's difficult. It's not impossible, but it's difficult.
It's definitely not impossible.
Well, you have to train yourself, you know, and this, like he said, as soon as I see myself doing it, so the eyes of man are never satisfied.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah, I mean.
You know. Godliness with contentment is great gain. You know.
God gives us the power to stand up under.
That's right.
Yeah. I don't think I have anything else. I want to keep it open. We still have a little bit of time. Any other thoughts?
I do like the... can we talk about verse 20?
Yeah, we could talk about 23,
for lack of discipline,
yeah.
They will die,
yeah.
Led astray by their own great folly. I think that, you know, the self-control, I think self-control and discipline is much the same thing, and that's a fruit of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. One of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. So, you know, thinking about discipline and how we are, you know, working on discipline in our life is really...
And how do we do that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, one way is talking about it. One way is, you know, recognizing where Satan will attack you, and training yourself to either deal with that or avoid it. You know, I mean,
being around others that understand the same issues that we go through. You know, Billy Graham, whenever he left home, he always kept people with him.
Right.
You know, because he knew that he'd fall into this just like everybody else, especially in such a high profile guy.
Yeah.
You know, and that's smart. That's discipline.
Right.
You know you don't have the wherewithal to do it on your own, because sooner or later I'll trip up.
Right.
I need to keep people with me to keep me in check as well, and that's what we need to do.
Right.
And like you're saying, fellowship.
Accountability.
Yeah, accountability.
The Proverbs 22:14, when you think of who are those two, what are those two preachers, the televangelist, Baker, and who's the other guy?
Oh, gosh, I don't know.
You know the guy. Well, anyway, The mouth of strange women is a deep pit. He that is abhorred of the Lord shall fall therein. Baker and...
Somebody else.
What's that?
Joel Osteen?
No.
Swagger.
Yeah, Swimmy Jagger. That's the guy. Yeah, he swimmied right into it, didn't he? I don't know. I just... Yeah, Jimmy. So those two... They were abhorred of the Lord. They fell into the pit of strange, you know. Anyway, God's word is true.
Well, let me close. Lord, thank you for bringing us together to talk about your word. Thank you for allowing us the time to do that.
Thank you for for being in this country, in which allows us to do that freely. Lord, please keep the words with us today. Keep your commands. Keep your laws on our hearts, so that we may not go and sin against you, and that we will show our love for you. Because it's only possible through Jesus Christ. Lord, please be with everyone today as they travel home and think about your word, Lord. And we also on our hearts today are those that can't be with us, but please help them. Please heal them, be with them, and help them know that our thoughts and prayers are with them, Lord. We pray all these things in Jesus' name.